This is the 72 podcast in association with Radio Yorkshire.
Hello and welcome to the 72 in association with Radio Yorkshire. I'm Sam Bridges, and joining me as ever, it's Tom Carnduff, the editor of the 72.co.uk. You all right, Tom?
I'm very well, thanks, Sam. How are you?
Good, good. Yeah, we were just saying off air that, I don't know, in recent weeks, you've had something a bit more about you when we've come to these podcasts, but I don't know, you've lost a bit of edge, a bit of aura this week.
Sorry, I'll try and cheer up as it goes along.
Yeah, maybe. A changed man for at least 4 weeks, and now back to the
I've set same standards old too high, haven't I?
too cheery. Maybe as a Leeds fan, you're depressed coming towards the last weekend of the season?
Nah.
It's finally over.
Yeah. It's kind of relief, yeah.
So maybe on a downer. Maybe
another season's just over and done with, and I don't know, we miss football. You say what you want, no matter what team you support, you miss it. It's going to be the same with Leeds, although there's that relief, it's finally over. No more pain at a weekend.
Yeah, we've got the Euros. More pain
as an England fan. Yeah, great.
I'm excited about the Euros, not going to lie, I'm very excited. We shall crack on with the podcast because, as ever in the first part, we look at the big stories of the week, and I'm excited about this, being a Burnley fan, and Sean Dyche's men set to secure the Championship title. Promotion was sealed last weekend thanks to both Middlesbrough and Brighton drawing their respective games, meaning it wasn't going to go down to the three-way final day promotion. Burnley already up. Tom, what did you make of how the weekend unfolded and how remarkably I predicted a draw for Middlesbrough, I predicted a draw for Brighton, and I predicted a Burnley win. How about that?
Pretty impressive. Thanks. Very, very impressive. Yeah.
I think I was more happy about that than Burnley going up, actually.
Understandable, really. Well,
when you're used to all
it.
These promotions, Tom, you have to look at the little things within the promotion that make you happy.
Still clinging on to Leeds. 2010, promotion from League One. that's what I'm clinging on to. But yeah, great weekend. Really surprising as well, I think, in terms of Borough. You kind of did, but didn't expect them to slip up at Birmingham, particularly with the time of the season and thinking that, you know, the quality they've got there, you'd expect them to go and get a win, and it was controversial circumstances. I think it's fair to say the offside goal, but it's happened, one of those things. And Brighton, less so. I think playing Derby, you kind of, if anything, you expected Brighton or the three teams to slip up, but still a good performance, good entertaining football to watch. I was fine, that Brighton Derby game. It was good for the neutral like myself as well. It was really entertaining and kind of shows what stage of the season we're in, that celebration after Wilson's goal. It's still a meaningless goal really, but in terms of standings, where what it'll do to the promotion race, but obviously it meant a lot to them and keeping that run going and that momentum. You could see it in the celebrations afterwards and just what a key goal that could be this weekend.
Yeah, it could be huge as we go into the game against Middlesbrough, but for Burnley then, both of their contenders in the promotion race are drawn, and they had to go out and do a job, and they've pretty much done that through a lot of this unbeaten run and through a lot of the season, to be honest. Got the job done, a team of men, as Sean Dyche would say, and they did just that. It was unspectacular, the game against QPR, but they got the job done, got the goal through Sam Vokes, and you know, we're just kind of tidied their way to promotion.
Yeah, I think that game really summed up what you need to be, I think, for a promotion winning side. You can win games when it's not the most convincing fashion. It wasn't the most entertaining game, particularly, I think, following the Brighton Derby game, which, regardless of, you know, 1-1, pretty low scoring, but still, as a game to watch, it was a good game. For Burnley, it was a bit, I think it might have been nerves for the first bit of it, knowing the circumstances. Bit of a slow start, but like I said, got the job done, and a good goal as well to seal promotion and put them in a good position to win the league at the weekend.
Do you think Burnley have been the best of the three sides that have gone up?
I think in terms of the team, probably the best team in terms of the players that they've got. You're looking at Andre Gray, Joey Barton, Ben Mee as well, you can throw him in there, and quality across the pitch, but entertaining to watch. But they're a team that get the job done, much like when they first, or when they went up to the Premier League the other season. They weren't maybe the most spectacular, most impressive team, but they still got the job done, and this time round, I think they're going up to the Premier League, a much stronger team and a team that they can definitely build on and improve and hopefully for them cement themselves as a Premier League side.
Let's quickly touch on the playoff race a little bit. Derby obviously were leading Brighton until late on a rejuvenated Rams side. Sheffield Wednesday obviously secured their place in the playoffs. Did last weekend change how you were feeling about it at all? And given the fact that we've got two teams this weekend, one of them is going to go automatically, one's going to then drop into the playoffs. Do you think, depending on who it is, that they'll fall away, or do you think one of those sides will be stronger in the playoffs than the other?
I think, in a way, Hull Derby kind of have the favour in the fact that we'll be avoiding Sheffield Wednesday and one of Borough and Brighton. But I think the weekend, last weekend's results kind of confirmed to me just how good of a side Sheffield Wednesday are and how they can really play some good football when they want to. Such a big game, such big pressure that if Cardiff got the result, that really threw the playoff race wide open. But to win, and not only win, but in convincing fashion as well, like they did. You know, it's been said that it's probably the Owls' best performance of the season. And they can turn it on when they want to. And going into the playoffs, playing a team like Borough with the strength they've got, a team like Brighton who have been impressive pretty much all season through, that's going to give them that confidence as well, particularly at home. Hillsborough is a tough place to go. So I think that could favour them. But like I said, Hull and Derby, two very strong teams there who will avoid Wednesday and then Borough or Brighton. So it really is anyone's game. I think it's just too hard to call.
It's going to be an interesting weekend. We'll talk more as we get on into the podcast. Let's talk managers very briefly. Jose Riga, highly unlikely to remain at Charlton. Also on our news list is Neil Warnock promising a quick decision regarding his future. Russell Slade as well, after missing out on the playoffs, his job's up in the air. Of some of those names mentioned, who do you think is going to stay in a job? Who's going to walk away? Who's going to be sacked?
It's difficult to say. I think Neil Warnock's a very interesting situation, with obviously the short-term fix in them in Warnock keeping Rotherham up and doing such a fantastic job there in securing championship status when it looked all but over for them. I think they were going the same way as Bolton and Charlton in terms of it looked like weeks and weeks before the end of the season they could be down. But I think Warnock's got the situation now where I think he's grown to, you know, the club and the fans love him obviously for what he's done, and you've kind of got that connection there. Wasn't meant to be a short-term thing, but does he want to stay longer? But like he says, it's kind of good that a decision will be made pretty quickly, because then they've got the summer to build and build, strengthen, become a better team for next year and try and push on in the championship as well, because two seasons where they've stayed up, they've done the job, but now I think as a club they need to try and really establish themselves as a championship team and one that's going to stay away from relegation battles every season.
Do you think he will stay, Warnock, or not? Because we do see managers sometimes that come in and make the impact short term, then they take the job and then it kind of unravels from there into the new season. Obviously Rotherham are never going to have the same financial powers as a lot of the teams in the championship. Is he best leaving it as a job well done?
I'm not sure, really. You think what he's done with them in such a short space of time, what can he do with them over 46 games, and where can he take Rotherham? Because, you know, they've done a fantastic job, but in respect, they're not the biggest name players at Rotherham, but Warnock's got them playing and getting results, and he's obviously a bit of a motivator. They obviously have a bit of connection between the manager and the players, got a bit of chemistry there that seems to now be working, which they didn't seem to have under Redfern and then under Evans, particularly at the start of the season. So it's a difficult one, but for me, I'd be tempted, very tempted, to keep him, knowing the job he's done, and you're going to keep the fans on side as well for the next season in terms of they've got a manager they can support and back. So it's a very difficult one, but for me, I think Warnock deserves a season at it and just see where he can take them.
Very different situation at Charlton. They face Burnley on the final day of the season. Big protests expected. More about what's gone on off the pitch, but Jose Riga on a hard into nothing, really, in charge of Charlton, but highly unlikely he'll stay.
Yeah, he hasn't really confirmed it, but he's kind of hinted at that he wants certain reassurances. He could manage the club in League One still. Obviously, they're relegated, but obviously, with the situation that Charlton are in, he's still got another year left on that deal. But you're looking at the state that Charlton are in as a club, as a team. You imagine the top players, you know, you're looking at the likes of Luckman, who's probably going to be poached by a better team. the rest of the players? Are they going to really strengthen? Is the owner going to back the team to strengthen, or could they go, you know, a similar way as Blackpool, where they're going to be really crashing down towards the bottom end of League One? And you think for Jose Riga, it's a difficult situation. Obviously, this is his second spell at the club now. He's not been able to keep them up. A lot's been said about what's going on off the pitch, but it's a difficult one for him, really, whether you want to stay around. But with the protests, with the situation, with the ownership, you can understand why it's potentially a difficult place for a manager to work.
Yeah, and in terms of Russell Slade at Cardiff, is it the end of the line for him, do you think? It's a tough job trying to get them in that top six, but that's the expectation.
Definitely, but then you're looking at compared to how they were when they first came down. You know, they really looked like they were going the same way as Fulham in the Championship, that they weren't looking like they're competing whatsoever. And, you know, up until last weekend in that Sheffield Wednesday game, they were well within a chance of getting top six. So it's difficult, really, whether you get rid of Slade or whether you keep him and trust him to make a top six charge next season. But the question is, who could they get in? Who would probably be a better fit? You know, obviously the Nigel Pearsons, the David Moyes, he's obviously about now. But you're thinking the likes of Villa are probably going to poach in maybe bigger clubs than Cardiff. But, you know, Cardiff, obviously, you've got something to build on this year. Potentially a top six push as well. And it's still an experience to be, obviously, higher in the table, coming close. And that experience could well help them next season, whether Slade's there or not.
Yeah, we shall see on that one, and certainly a few more futures up in the air at the moment. And we'll end this section on, a Snapchat post. That a Wolves defender into trouble. Tell us more about this. We've seen players fined for all sorts of social media antics, but Snapchat this time.
Yeah, Courtney House, Wolves defender, it was part of the kit launch that they had at Wolves, but in doing so, he Snapchatted, I'm not sure, I think it might have been on his personal account, he Snapchatted a video blatantly showing the kits before release, which is obviously not a very clever thing to do in the... Obviously, Wolves aren't happy. It happened around 2 weeks ago, and he's been benched in the two matches since. But Kenny Jackett says the two incidents aren't related. But you never know. so yeah, it's a bit of a silly thing to do. I think it's one of those where you just weren't thinking. But from a club's perspective, obviously, they want to have a big reveal like most clubs to their kits, and you don't want any one particular player leaking it beforehand.
Football would be dead, wouldn't it, if a player was getting benched over a Snapchat in a kit?
Seems like modern football, though, doesn't it, really?
Yeah.
I think that just seems like the type of thing that would happen.
Yeah, kind of a depressing story there to end section one of the show, Tom. Next, we're going to be talking about the top five Championship signings of the season. We'll see how many Burnley players Tom's got on there and how many of his beloved Leeds United signings are on there, too. We'll find out very shortly.
You're listening to the 72 podcast in association with Radio Yorkshire.
This is the 72 in association with Radio Yorkshire. In part two of the show, we can now discuss the top five Championship signings of the season. Tom, you've got five names in front of us here that you've picked out. Are we in any particular order, or are you just going to run?
No, a bit of an order to it. But I think really it's only the number one. But starting at five, it's Andre Gray. I think that's blatantly obvious how fantastic he's been. And I'm sure as a Burnley fan, you know how good he is and how important his goals have been this season. And he's definitely fired them to promotion.
Yeah, the goals have been absolutely vital. I think there's still quite a bit to do for Andre Gray in the general play and the way he holds the ball up. And sometimes being in a game... more than he actually is. But yeah, like you said, the amount of goals certainly in the first half of the season have been absolutely outstanding, and well, more than repaid the £6 million that Burnley shelled out in the summer. So I think he's the benchmark for future Championship signings, and what can get you promotion, as is the second man on your list.
Definitely another Burnley player, and Joey Barton. He's been fantastic in the Burnley midfield. He's really been one of the key players in the league this season. I think the only thing that stopped him potentially winning Player of the Year was the fact the likes of Andre Gray and obviously the headline getters. And I think because obviously not being a striker, maybe not necessarily goes under the radar, but doesn't grab the headlines, you know. But he's been there all season. He's been such a key player for Burnley as well. And like I said, you're a Burnley fan, I'm sure you know how important he's been and how it could have been a different situation if Barton wasn't in midfield.
Yeah, I've said many times before that Joey Barton has just been that difference, really. I think if you look at Middlesbrough and look at Brighton, and if they would have had maybe Joey Barton in their midfield, they probably would have gone on to win the league. Maybe even, you know, Burnley will just sneak the league in the end, unless certain things happen at the weekend. But, you know, if they would have had that kind of experience, just the mopping up in front of the back four, keeping the team playing, always wanting the ball every single time, never shying away from anything, then I think he would have been the difference to both of those teams going on to win the league. So, yeah, he's been absolutely vital. I think he's the signing of the whole season. On a free transfer, on reduced wages, because he wanted to come to a club where he knew what it was all about. He likes Sean Dyche, he likes the simple way in which you go and do things, the work ethic and all that kind of thing. And he's really knuckled down and become a real part of the culture at Burnley, which Sean Dyche will talk about very often. But just, you know, what he expects. You know, hard work comes first, and, you know, getting results come first and everything else comes after. But, you know, Burnley have had some great performances along with all of that.
Definitely. And I think for Burnley, it's that leadership as well that he brings. He brings the experienced head as well. And for Burnley, it's, as a club, they're in a fantastic position, not just as a team. So it's all around a good thing to go to the Premier League with.
Yeah, and I think looking at the squad as well, I think when you going into the game, one of the final games, or pretty much most of the matches in recent times since Burnley signed the likes of Lloyd Dyer, who started getting on the bench, there was something like 14 players of the 16-man squad that had won promotion to the Premier League. When you got the likes of Dyer to go off the bench, Matty Taylor all being around the squad, Paul Robinson, how many caps has he had for England? Yeah. Obviously, you know, a star of Leeds United's Premier League team as well. You know, so many players with experience littered throughout the squad, and then you've got younger players like Andre Gray, who's bagging that amount of goals. The balance was absolutely right. You know, not too many coming through from the youth team, which is, I suppose, the next thing Burnley need to look at and start bringing local names through again, like they did with the likes of Jay Rodriguez. But they've certainly nurtured talent that they've brought in over recent years. Danny Ings, Charlie Austin, now Andre Gray. So, yeah, throughout the team, I think they got it absolutely spot on with leaders and younger talent.
Yeah, I'd have to agree there. You can't argue with it.
Yeah, but if you look at, like, we often use Leeds United as the as a sounding board in many cases in the Championship, but so much talent in the squad, but just lacking exactly that, some real men around and some real leaders.
I think that's what Burnley needed, particularly with the way the season's going, where we could have five teams in the Championship finishing above 80 points after 46 games. That's, you know, just shows the high calibre of the teams at the top end as well. I think that's what Burnley needed. With the run-in as well, how it took them to, you know, the penultimate game to seal promotion. They needed those players who have the experience. Like you said, like Dyche says, real men, you know, buy into that kind of culture, but players who have been there and done it, and obviously that's inevitably what's won it for Burnley.
Yep. What else have we got on the list? Anthony Knockaert is next.
Yeah, a player who could help Brighton seal promotion. He's really turned them round since he came in. What a fantastic player he is. I think we know of him in the Championship with his time at Leicester and their promotion champions winning squad when they went up. A bit of a surprise that Leicester decided not to keep him as well, that they decided to let him go. He kind of fell out of the team a bit last season and inevitably left. But what a player he is, and you're just watching him, particularly at the weekend in big games against Derby, he really shows up and he's really an impact player. And I think for Brighton, they'll be looking at the likes of Knockaert as a player to keep for next season and just to help, you know, make sure that they get across the line automatically and win this weekend.
Two more names on your list. Run us through them. One, a player, and a surprising one.
Yeah. We'll start off at Bristol City, and Jonathan Kodjia. I know it's not maybe a headline-catching name in terms of, obviously, the team he plays for, but he's been such a vital player. I think he scored about 40% of Bristol City's goals this season. He scored 19 in 54. And you're thinking that a lot's been said of Lee Johnson at Bristol City and how he's come in and turned it around, but without players, you know, the right players in place who can help that, they'd probably be, you know, alongside or in place of Milton Keynes Dons in the relegation zone. And they've been looking for players who can come up big when they've been asked of, and he's one of these players who has certainly turned around Bristol City's fortunes, and hopefully for them he'll be a player that can help them push on next season.
Yeah, we often talked about Bristol City and pre-season they tried to make a number of big name signings up front, Andre Gray being one of the names mentioned, but there were quite a few others as well. They tried to spend big, but they already had within their ranks someone who's really come on and scored goals.
I think that's why it kind of, not necessarily a big name, this, you know, in terms of compared to the likes of Barton, Gray, you know, Ramirez, Rhodes, are the teams who have, you know, obviously look at where they are, but still important player. And a player that, like I said, they'll be looking to next season to help them push on, not just establish themselves as a Championship club, but they've got potential to just keep pushing on up the table. We've seen it with the likes of Bournemouth, you know, it can be done. And it should be interesting to see where he can take Bristol City.
And finally, we've mentioned if he'll stay or go, but who's the last one on the list?
Neil Warnock. Now that is, I think we speak of signings and think of players, but it's just remarkable. It's unbelievable the job that he's come in and the job he's done when he's come in and turned it round. They look dead and out of it. They look to be a League One team once again, Rotherham United. But he's come in, convincing wins, a long run, unbeaten run that's helped them get out of the problem. And, well, I'm sure Rotherham fans will be thankful that Warnock accepted the offer.
Indeed, a fabulous job Neil Warnock has done at Rotherham, been absolutely spectacular. That brings us to the end of this section of the show. Next, we're going to be discussing the huge game on Saturday between Middlesbrough and Brighton, the £200 million game. We'll be back next.
This is the 72 podcast in association with Radio Yorkshire.
This is the 72. We're in association with Radio Yorkshire. I'm Sam Bridges, and Tom Carnduff is with me as ever, the editor of the72.co.uk. Now, Tom, it's now the £200 million game. It's the 100 before, wasn't it?
But I think now it's 170
plus.
Yeah, plus, like, you know, your commercial side of stuff as well from going up into the Premier League. But 200 million, nice,
yeah,
round figure.
Yeah, round it. Sounds about right. Yeah, round it up. So it's a £200 million game this weekend. Of course, it's Middlesbrough against Brighton. Middlesbrough at the Riverside. Brighton travelling up there trying to wrestle promotion from them. In terms of the game, first of all, we spoke about what happened last weekend. Who do you think will be in the better frame of mind going into it? Brighton got that late goal.
I know, it's very difficult to call on who the pressure's going to be on this one. Obviously, Brighton know they have to go and win, but then you'd expect Borough to be favourites because of that, because they can take a draw or a win at home. Maybe the pressure could get to them. So it's very, very difficult to see where the pressure lies on this one and who's going to be, you know, the team that fancy themselves more. But like you said, that late goal against Brighton's big for them in terms of keeping that momentum going, keeping the unbeaten run going. Big psychological boost as well, obviously not losing the week before a big game. So for them, they've got that. But then you Borough at the Riverside, it's very difficult for teams to go and score goals there, let alone win games. So yeah, it's matched up perfectly, particularly with the time of the season.
It is. You mentioned that Wilson goal late on, and the reaction was the main thing that came out of it, as you said earlier, the way all the players were together on that. Whereas Middlesbrough have got a slightly maybe different togetherness in the fact that they're spurning from this goal that was disallowed,
yeah,
that they suffered from. So they've almost got an axe to grind going into the game, whereas Brighton are a bit more buoyant despite losing points.
Definitely. I think that frustration of that offside goal, I think, not you can understand, but in a way you can kind of see why maybe offside was given. I think the last defender was hiding behind two Borough attackers in terms of where the linesman was. But like you said, for Borough, it's frustration, and that, it's that annoyance as well at the disallowed goal, and obviously the circumstances where that could have put them in a whole different frame with Brighton slipping up. But it's a very difficult one to call, and not just to call on who's going to win it, but where the pressure lies on which team for this one. But for me, I definitely fancy Brighton as kind of the underdogs, that they can go and play a bit more relaxed, even though they know they've got a win. But still, it's definitely divided opinion on where the result's going.
Well, what about managers? How important do you think they'll be with the players, leave it all on the pitch. But you've got two very different personalities in Aitor Karanka, who's a bit more volatile, a bit more outspoken when it comes to being on the touchline and what he says pre and post matches, where Chris Hughton's a real cool, calm, collected figure in a much of a similar way to Sean Dyche.
Yeah, you spoke about, well, you mentioned Sean Dyche, but we spoke about Burnley's players who have been there and done it and their experiences. Chris Hughton's obviously quite a good manager to have that for his experiences in management, particularly at this level. I think that, you know, that will help brighten out Karanka. Obviously, you know, he's not won promotion to the Premier League. They've got a very good squad there. They're probably names you probably know better as a team, Borough, compared with Brighton. But it's that effect of Hughton in terms of that he knows how to do it. He knows how it's done to get to the Premier League. So that could really inspire them, and that could be, you know, that knowledge. And just how to deal with the pressure of the situation as well could be massive for him.
So run us through the permutations. What can and can't happen tomorrow?
Well, obviously the league title still thrown open. But for this game, it's simple as, because of goal difference, Brighton must win. Brighton have to go and win the game. Borough can be promoted with a win or a draw. So a draw would suit Borough. And as for the title, obviously Burnley just need to go and win away at Charlton and they'll win it. But if Burnley slip up and they lose, it's basically going to be whichever team wins here will win the league. So it's still all to play for in terms of the league title as well, not just promotion. But it is a case of simply that Brighton must win, whereas Borough can take drop points and still go up.
At FBL72 on Twitter, you've been doing some polls on this climax of the championship season. In terms of the Borough-Brighton game, what was kind of the way people were thinking?
Well, yeah, as of now, over 2,000 votes have come in on it, and 47% believe that Brighton will get the 3 points, whereas it's now 39% believe Borough and 14% believe it'll be a draw. So near enough, half and half. They're obviously just a bit in favour of Borough. But in terms of to outright win the game, I think you can understand people's thinking in Brighton that they know they have to win, where Borough know that a draw will do. So you can see why Brighton might necessarily go and play a bit more of an attacking game and try and win the game there. But as I said, another poll we did, obviously, you can kind of predict it. 71% think Burnley will win the league by the end of play. And yeah, understandable, really, I think, with Burnley's situation. But obviously, it's divided a lot of opinion as to where the points are going and who's going up.
Yeah, Burnley obviously go to Charlton. There are going to be a lot of protests there at the regime. Charlton obviously beat Leeds United last weekend at Elland Road, came and got a really good result against an in-form Leeds side. So what do you think of Burnley? Do you think the Charlton players may be distracted by the fact that there is so much going on off the field? And for Burnley, it's as, isn't it? It's as they've done, as we said before, you know, for the last, well, all season, but definitely since you know, in this unbeaten run, it's go out and get the job done no matter what.
I think Burnley have showed that they can go and get the job done regardless of how the game's going. They've showed it both home and away. They've been convincing victories, and there's been games where they, you know, they've won by one goal margin. But at Charlton, you know, they showed at Leeds that they can go away to a team that, you know, hit a bit of form and win. So at home, you could maybe fancy them to get something if they fancy kind of ruining the party and being that team. But for them, I think it might just be a case of they want the season over and done with to rebuild over the summer and prepare for League One. So it just depends how, you know, up for it some of the players are. And I know a lot's been said about the players in terms of that when they were relegated, some of them didn't even acknowledge the travelling Charlton fans. So it all depends on whether Charlton fancy ruining the party or whether they just want to see the season out and, you know, Burnley can go and really take advantage of Charlton's position.
But whatever happens, no trophy for Burnley to lift on the final day. I'm not too happy about that. What do you think?
A lot of Burnley fans have reacted to it in pretty much the same way as you. Not too happy the fact that you play for 46 games and in a season that's been competitive at the top as this one is, where, you know, you're only a few points off the team in second and third. I think it's a bit frustrating, but I think it's potential disruption. I think it's the reason as to why the trophy is not being lifted. But you just think, where are they going to? What's going to happen?
Disruption, as
it?
In the crowd, as with the
potential protest there, I think is the reason why, or the reason that's been stated. But I think it's just frustrating that you don't get to lift the title, obviously, on the pitch once you've won it. I think it's a bit of an anticlimax if you have to have kind of something afterwards, you know, a few weeks or a month later. Yeah, it just doesn't seem right that a team obviously wins the league and doesn't get a trophy for it.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of what's going on at Charlton will be going on outside of the stadium, really, you would imagine, I'm sure. You know, they're going to be showing their displeasure inside. They've got all these balloons and things like that. But, I mean, if... I don't know. If Arsenal can go and, you know, win the league a few years ago at Old Trafford and stuff like that, I can't remember whether they got the trophy or not on that occasion. But it's frustrating.
I think with the protests, I think it's just a case of maybe they just want fans in for the game, and then to go out and maybe limit the, you know, the time that fans can have in the stadium potentially to do these protests. And, you know, not saying, you know, the protests are a bad thing. You know, everyone's got their own opinion of them and the state of Charlotte. What Charlton are in, but I think that could just, you know, be the case where they want to limit, both the club and the police want to limit the time that protests could happen. But yeah, like I said, for Burnley, it's just frustrating that, you know, a long, hard season, you don't get a trophy for it at the end of it.
We're going to be touching on Brighton and Middlesbrough in the predictions later on. Just to give us a flavour, Tom, given what happened last weekend, what do you think the most likely result is? You don't necessarily have to give your full prediction. Do you think that, which team do you think's got the most confidence going into this game?
I think, like you said, with confidence in terms of last weekend's results, I think Brighton have maybe got that edge, but Borough could be feeling a bit confident being at home. I think it all depends on the flow of the game. If Borough score early on, I think they might potentially be quite happy just to see off that, knowing their defensive record at home. But, you know, you never know. Brighton could come out and want it, and I'm sure they will. And it all depends on which way the game goes. But for me, I do fancy Brighton to go and do the job and get promotion.
There we go. We'll get Tom's full prediction later on, as well as predictions on two of the other big games this weekend. You're listening to the 72 in association with Radio Yorkshire. Coming up shortly, we can discuss transfer news.
You're listening to the 72 podcast in association with Radio Yorkshire.
This is the 72 in association with Radio Yorkshire. Sam Bridges and Tom Carnduff with you as ever, the editor of the 72.co.uk. And Tom, we're recording this on Friday afternoon. We've had some breaking news. The yellow bar has gone across Sky Sports News, and it's about a man we were talking about earlier, Russell Slade. Tell us more.
Yeah, annoyingly, as we've already spoke about Russell Slade, this has happened mid-recording, but we're talking about his potential future as Cardiff boss. He's going to be staying on at Cardiff, but as a head of football, so in a different role. So Cardiff will be looking for a new manager next season, which seems a bit surprising, a bit bizarre to me for him to kind of go to a different role but stay within the club.
Yeah, normally that happened to maybe a senior figure who's had a lot of experience or maybe success. Yeah. I don't know, but Russell Slade, you know, people were speculating about his future, and now he's moving upstairs. Doesn't seem quite right.
Certainly, doesn't seem to make
sense. Yeah, especially if you're a new manager coming in, the guy that was, you know, in with the players last season and just missed out. I don't know how it really works and fits.
I'm not sure if Cardiff have had a head of football previously or whether this is a new thing that they're trying, but Russell Slade, like I said, seems a bit bizarre as the new manager. How much power is he going to have? Because you're kind of getting rid of your ex-manager, but you've still got an influence on the team, on football.
Yeah. Well, I remember they're just changing things up in the more continental way, so maybe more of a head coach coming in, maybe?
Potentially, but I'm just surprised, really, on how this one's going to play out in terms of, like I said, are they going to go continental? Are they going to look for more of a coach, or... Because if you're going to get another manager, surely there's just going to be a lot of clashing of ideas potentially there, and two managers as opposed to a head coach and a head of football. But not quite sure. Will it be like a director of? You know, I think it'll be like a director of football role. But it just seems surprising that they'd kind of move him on, but not move him on to another club. Just keep him within the club, despite, you know, speculation that he's not good enough to manage the team, but he's good enough to be head of football.
Yeah, definitely going to be interesting to see what move they make. Next, that's the breaking news that Russell Slade is not going to leave Cardiff this summer. He's going to move upstairs and be the head of football. Plenty of movers and shakers in the transfer news. Looking forward to a busy summer as ever. Of course, we on the 72.co.uk, we've got the Summer Transfer Centre to look forward to. Give us the top news story this week. And we talk a lot about young talent from League One and Two catching the eye of big clubs. And Arsenal and Spurs looking at an AFC Wimbledon defender.
Yeah, Ryan Sweeney's caught the attention of both of the two North London big clubs there. And also, I think it's believed that Jurgen Klopp's Liverpool and West Ham and also recently promoted Burnley are potentially looking at signing him as well. So it shows, you know, what a talent he is. And he's got, I think he's played 9 times this season for Wimbledon. So still at a young age, he seems to be ready for first team football, could play a part in their upcoming playoff, you know, end of season lottery there. Caps with Republic of Ireland under 19s as well, so he's got the international experience, and he's enjoyed quite a bit of a run in the squad since in the starting lineup since kind of making his debut breakthrough, and it's caught the attention of the bigger clubs, and I think for him he's got it's that age old question of should you move to a bigger club, will he get the game time, or potentially, you know, club mentioned there, Burnley, would he potentially play a bit more there as opposed to, you know, a Spurs and Arsenal team that are going to be going for the title. It's an interesting one, but, you know, really it shows what a talent he is.
Yeah, let's mention Burnley again. I know it's Bristol City linked with Henry Lansbury, but Burnley have been chasing the Forest midfielder for, I think, the last 4 transfer windows. They tried to get him away from the City ground. Forest have held their ground, but I think it's only a matter of time before he does leave and move on, whether maybe Bristol City, not the move maybe he would have wanted, but Henry Lansbury, do you think he will leave Forest this summer?
I can potentially see why, you know, he'd leave. Like I said, there's always seems to be interest in him every window, but Bristol City, the latest name to add, you know, the latest name to the list. And with Bristol City, it's a bit weird. They've obviously got the finances there, but we know last summer they tried to get these names, these big, you know, young, talented strikers they tried for, it seemed, last year, and were unsuccessful in pretty much all their attempts. So I think this summer now they've guaranteed championship status. They're going to be looking at the likes of Lansbury and, you know, try and build a team that can hopefully push them up the championship a bit. And I think for them, if this is the route they're going to go down, where they're going to be spending, you know, around £6 million price tag on Lansbury, I think it's kind of where you need all the players to buy into it if you're going to get, you know, names that teams know around the league.
Henry Lansbury, is he the £6 million player that Forest value him at? I mean, he seems to, you know, Forest, they've kind of tread in water quite a bit, or they've had a lot of restrictions on them, and he's an influential player, but he doesn't seem to the next level.
I'd struggle to probably pay £6 million if I was a manager for Henry Lansbury. Great player, fantastic, but I'm just not sure £6 million is really a figure that would, you know, maybe, you know, a 4, a 5, but I know it's not that much more, but that 6 just seems a bit too much for the play again. Yeah, like you said, you know, he's a great player. He can change games when he wants to, but for me, it seems a bit much, and particularly with Forest's situation, I'd be very surprised if they do get 6 or upwards of £6 million for him.
So would Forest be shrewd to offload Henry Lansbury and look at maybe the likes of Aston Villa midfielder Gary Gardner, who's the next name on our list, and Burnley and Brighton also interested in the player. So I guess it kind of depends when, you know, which teams are in which division. I suppose we know Burnley are going to be in the Premier League and Brighton as well.
Yeah, obviously Forest here are going to be looking at Gardner as a player they've had on loan. He's a player who knows the club quite well, so they'll try and play that to their advantage a bit, I think. But, you know, nothing wrong in that if he does like where he is at the moment. He could well stay, but then you're looking at Burnley and Brighton, and realistically, you know, Gardner could fit into these teams in the first team, particularly you're thinking at Burnley if he lines up alongside Joey Barton in the Premier League. That's a pretty decent central midfield pairing there. Particularly for Brighton, if they don't go up this season, it's going to strengthen them for next season. Are Forest going to be a promotion challenging team next season? At the moment, you don't think so. You think, you know, they'll stay at the other end of the table. So difficult decision for Gardner, but I think Forrest's, you know, main hope is that he's been on loan there twice now, I think, so he knows the club quite well. And yeah, apparently the caretaker boss, Paul Williams, is going to recommend that Forrest try and sign him on a permanent deal.
Leeds sign Ronaldo Vieira. Is this the £10 million sign-in that's going to take Leeds to the Premier League?
To be honest, I'm not sure how good he is, but I put it in because his name's Ronaldo Vieira. He's got to be good, isn't he? His name is Ronaldo Vieira. That
sounds good.
That is a footballer. That's a legend in the making, Ronaldo Vieira.
So where's he come from? What's his background? Does he come from Sporting Lisbon?
Sporting Lisbon. No.
Bengal.
It's a youth thing, but it's cool. He's been around Leeds for this season now.
He's a Leeds lad. Ronaldo Vieira.
Ronaldo Vieira. And he's kind of been around the youth squad this last year. He joined last summer, I think, and it kind of caught a bit of attention then because of his name, and now obviously signing a professional deal, eligible to, you know, go to the first team now, I think, if they wanted to. I'm not sure if he will, but you know, his name's Ronaldo Vieira, so come on, think of the shirt sales if they brought him up to the first team. They've got to play this one tactically. It'd be great.
Yeah, potentially a lot of money to be made there. And his brother's called Romario Vieira.
Yeah, I know. Right? Yeah, they're both great at football, aren't they? I really, really would be disappointed now if this doesn't work out. I will be very, very, very disappointed.
We shall see. Ronaldo Vieira, a one for the future. And we'll end this section with Middlesbrough, who are one of three clubs pursuing a Premier League keeper.
Yeah, promotion chase in Middlesbrough could well be a Premier League team by the end of the day tomorrow, along with Everton and Bournemouth trying to get Crystal Palace's Wayne Hennessy. A keeper that quite a lot of people know. You know, he's spent a bit of time in the Palace first team now. Got a lot of experience at the Championship. He's been on a few loan spells as well. Used to play for Wolves. I think he got promoted with Wolves, if I think rightly. But yeah, very, you know, a talented keeper. He's got international honours as well. So yeah, you can see, obviously, with Middlesbrough and their goalkeeper situation, their goalkeeper's obviously not going to be around forever. You know, he's getting on a bit, so they're obviously going to look younger, but yeah, it's all game time, I think. Middlesbrough could maybe guarantee it, but then Everton and Bournemouth need keepers as well, so it's going to be an interesting battle and one to watch.
Yes, lots of interesting transfer news to watch on the Summer Transfer Centre at the, the 72.co.uk.
Like,
make sure you check it out, and we shall be keeping abreast of all the transfer news here on Radio Yorkshire as well throughout the summer. Next, we're going to look ahead to a huge weekend in the Championship, League One and League Two.
This is the 72 podcast in association with Radio Yorkshire.
You listen to the FL 72 in association with Radio Yorkshire. Sam and Tom with you as we now look ahead to the final weekend of the season across the FL divisions. And Tom, we can kick off the top of the bill. It's Charlton against Burnley. We've already kind of discussed it, so we'll gloss over this. We've already discussed Brighton against Middlesbrough in some depth as well. But Burnley against Charlton, what are you thinking here? The routine Burnley win, not lifting the trophy, but winning the league.
Yeah, I think on paper it's routine. But that's on paper. I think this season's kind of showed, particularly in the Championship, particularly at the top end of the Championship, you don't really know what to expect. There's been plenty of twists and turns, and you know, it could well happen again this weekend, but like I said, on paper anyway, this looks a very straightforward result for Burnley. They know they can win the league with a win, and with obviously Borough and Brighton having a difficult game and playing each other, it's a fantastic opportunity for Burnley to finish first.
Yep. Fingers crossed Burnley can win the title. Still quite a bit to play for in League One as well. Doncaster against Burton is a decent little game. Doncaster, of course, staring down the barrel of League Two football next season. While Burton can they still make the Championship? Can they still make automatic?
Definitely, yeah. It's well on for Burton. 3 points clear of Walsall with, I think, three goal difference better. So they're in a prime position to secure promotion to the Championship automatically. And you know, they should really do it, much like Burnley. On paper, this seems a very routine victory for them. But Doncaster, in fairness, have had their wins not, you know, against teams, you know, that big win against Wigan, against Coventry, they've got it in them to beat the top teams, particularly at home, like they have done against Coventry and Wigan. So Burton have got to be careful of that, you know, potential slip up, but then they've won their last couple, so I think they'll be going there plenty of confidence, and they'll be looking to get the win as well. And I think obviously if it does go wrong, hopefully for them, Walsall might slip up as well, because Walsall have to win and obviously get that free goal swing.
Yeah, Wigan against Barnsley is another decent game as well. Wigan, of course, winning the league. They've won the league, haven't they already?
Yeah, Wigan have got it, but this is massive for Barnsley. Joint on points with Scunthorpe just in there by goal difference, so obviously they'll need to get a result. And it's not going to be easy for them as well. It's not an easy place to play in League One, particularly in the kind of party atmosphere they'll be at Wigan as well, in them going up as champions. They're going to want to see off the season in good fashion and get to that 90-point mark as well. So for Barnsley, it's a big, big ask for them to go and try and get that victory.
Scunthorpe are on this fantastic run under Graham Alexander. 7 straight wins at the moment. They go to Sheffield United, of course, on Sunday on the final day. Nigel Atkins' men will want to go out on a high in front of their home fans. So no easy game. The season has ended in somewhat of a whimper for Sheffield United, but like I said, they'll be eager to go out on a high.
Yeah, obviously a lot's been said about Nigel Atkins' future at Sheffield United as well. Missed out on playoffs again. Sheffield United, a club in League One, you expect to at least make top six every season. Like you said, you know, the highest they can finish realistically is 9th with a win. Scunthorpe, fantastic form. They'll be wanting to, you know, put the pressure on Barnsley because, you know, they could very well. It's a great possibility. They will slip up away at Wigan. And for Scunthorpe, high in confidence, they're going to be fancying themselves going to this. But Sheffield United at Bramall Lane particularly will want to just see off the season on a high, really, to go into that summer to rebuild, to try and really strengthen for next season, to get a serious promotion challenge on, which is something they, you know, haven't properly had in League One for a while now.
Fascinating down the bottom end of League One, where one game to go and you've got neighbours Blackpool and Fleetwood in with a chance of going down. Fleetwood just hovering above the relegation zone, 48 points on the final day. Fleetwood host Crewe, and Blackpool play Peterborough. I believe they travel to Peterborough. Mid-table, obviously, for Peterborough. Crewe, bottom of the league. Real poor season for them. Who do you think's gonna survive between the two Lancashire seaside towns?
I think Fleetwood have got the better luck in terms of the games they've got. Crewe, you know, for them, it should be, you know, not too much of a difficult game. Obviously, Crewe have had their odd result, but they're down, they're bottom. It's not great for them. Whereas Blackpool, they've got that bit of hope because you don't really know what you're going to expect with Peterborough. Obviously, the managerial change, a lot's happened there. But Peterborough don't really draw, I've noticed. It's win, lose, win, lose, win, lose. And I think that'll give Blackpool that bit of confidence that they can go away. Peterborough have slipped up in recent weeks. You know, we mentioned Scunthorpe, but the likes of Rochdale have come as well and they've slipped up there. Teams can beat them at home, so obviously it's, you know, last game of the season, they have something to play for and Peterborough don't, so they might just want it that bit more.
Yeah, funny how things work out in football as well. Graham Alexander sacked by Fleetwood at the start of the season, and now he's manager of Scunthorpe on this great run and could sneak into the playoffs and could theoretically, it's quite a long shot, end up in the Championship next season, while Fleetwood, if things go wrong for them this weekend, could end up back in League Two. Funny how it works
Scunthorpe,
out.
Scunthorpe, I think, going up would be a bit of a surprise one.
Yeah,
you wouldn't really expect them to come up this season.
No. So. Yeah, both Barnsley and Scunthorpe, great second halves of the season. Yeah, so well done to Graham Alexander, Burnley legend, of course. always got to mention that. In League Two, then, also on Sunday, Accrington Stanley, John Coleman, what a job he's done once more back at Stanley. And second in the league going into the final day. Obviously, a lot of problems. We spoke late last year about all the problems they had with the pitch and they couldn't even get a home game on. But yet they've ploughed through and, are on the verge of going up automatically. Stanley play Stevenage on the final day. Oxford and Bristol Rovers victories could also see them go above Accrington if Stanley lose. But do you think they'll have enough to beat Stevenage and get up automatically. Stevenage 19th in the table.
Yeah, I think for Accrington and Bristol Rovers as well, they've kind of been given good ties for the final weekend of the season in where they are both at home, both against, you know, teams who are down there. In fairness to Stevenage, though, a few results in the last few games. They've, you know, got a couple of wins, a couple of draws, so they've given that a bit of confidence. But you've got to think this is Accrington. They're at home. They're going to fancy themselves to get a win, and they're going to be going for a win, and I'm sure they'll try and want to get promoted in convincing fashion.
Yeah, good luck to Accrington, Stanley. What do you think then? Bristol Rovers play Dagenham and Redbridge, of course, relegated along with York. So, you know, a decent tie, as you said there. And Oxford, they play Wickham. Who, again, a decent side, had a good season by all accounts, 10th in the table. Who do you think's going to go up? Do you think, theoretically, they should all win their final matches?
Yeah, I think it's going to be three wins for the three teams at the top end of the table. You're looking at, you know, home advantage, just where they are in the league, how they're all going as well. They're going pretty well. Looking at Oxford, Wickham haven't been in the greatest for forms recently either, but Oxford are good team there as well. They've kind of been up there most of the season. They know, you know, they've held it well. So for them, they'll be looking to, you know, do the job at home. I think everyone, all the teams won last weekend, and in the run-up, they've been getting the results they need. So yeah, I can't really see anything, you know, any change anyway. I think it's going to be free wins for the three teams looking to go up.
Yes, I agree. And good luck to Accrington, Stanley, this weekend. Hopefully John Coleman can take them up automatically. What an achievement that will be from the big man once more. Right, we shall move on into the final section of the show. It's the Prediction League, where we invite Radio Yorkshire's failed predictor, Tom Feeney, into the studio. Just to laugh at him, really, at this stage of the season. But three predictions for the weekend's games coming right up.
This is the 72 Podcast, in association with Radio Yorkshire.
Welcome back to the 72 in association with Radio Yorkshire. We move into the final part of the show, and as promised, it's the three predictions for three of the biggest games of the weekend. And we've invited him back in, the big predictor that is Tom Feeney. How are you doing, Tom?
I'm not too bad. Not great looking at the table, but not too bad all the same.
Yeah, well, the table doesn't lie at this stage of the season. Let's just sum it up. The table as it stands. You are bottom of the league, representing Radio Yorkshire. Also, I don't know why we keep putting Radio Yorkshire. We should just put Tom Feeney now, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
He's the man. Yeah, it's giving Radio Yorkshire a bad name.
I'll take the blame. But do you know what? I still think I can come second.
Well, we've just been saying that actually more weeks, because we were kind of thinking that this is kind of final week, but actually playoffs and everything, we've got the end to the end of the month.
Yeah, well, on a weekly basis, how many playoff games are we going to predict? Are we going to pick just three of the best? Are we going to predict them all? Or?
Well, we could predict them all if you want.
Big points to
let's
go for.
Let's save the planning meeting till after the show. Tom Condo is second. He's got 33 points. Tom Feeney, of course, bottom with 24. I think I forgot to say the figure there. And I am still top of the league, just like the mighty Burnley, flying high, just ready to lift that trophy. I've got 41 points, so I am just the 8 points clear of you, Tom Carnduff.
It's all right. 9 points to play for this week.
Indeed, right. Indeed. Last weekend, plenty of points. You actually scored a point, Tom, which was pretty good.
We'll take that.
predicting a win in the Burton-Gillingham game. Tom Carnduff got a correct score in that game, suggesting 2-1. We laughed at Tom for picking Rotherham and Blackburn.
Yeah, make sure you mention that you laughed at me last week. We went for an
absolute hammering. For Rotherham, it was in fact 1-0 to Blackburn, and Tom Carnduff predicted a draw. He's kind of taken that as a little win for himself, fact that he thought it was a closer game than he did. And Brighton Derby, which of course I predicted correctly, a 1-1, that Brighton would draw with Derby and allow the door to open to Burnley to go on and claim promotion and subsequently the title this weekend. You went for a Brighton win, so did Tom. So unlucky, lads. Unlucky. This week, three games that we got. Peterborough against Blackpool, Oxford against Wickham, and the big one, the £170 million plus game. It's Middlesbrough against Brighton. We'll kick off, though, with Peterborough. Blackpool fighting for survival. Tom Feeney, what will the score be here?
Well, I think this is going to be one of them games where Blackpool just have to go for it. They've got absolutely nothing to lose now, and I think they're going to leave a lot of holes open at the back. Their attack isn't great, it has to be said, so I think this will be Peterborough 3, Blackpool 1.
Convincing for the home side.
What are you going for?
It's hard. Like I said, it's a difficult one, really. You never know what you're going to get with Peterborough and their kind of win-lose form that they've got at the moment, the managerial change. But I think the matter of fact is Blackpool have got something to play for, whereas Peterborough haven't. And I think that might... You never know what you're going to get with Peterborough, and I think Blackpool might want it a bit more, and I reckon they might just nick it. I'm going to say 2-1 to Blackpool.
Ooh. I'm going to go for a draw. Yeah. This would be a whimper. A whimper of a relegation scrap. I think Fleetwood will probably draw as well. It'll just be a boring end. But Fleetwood will be happy because Blackpool will be down, their neighbours.
Yeah. There you go.
There you go. So I'm going for a draw. 1-1. Oxford against Wickham. We'll let Tom Carnduff go first here. Oxford, one of three vying for automatic promotion, as we just discussed.
Yeah, just discuss the league to promotion race and how close it is. And I'm going to stick with what I said there, really. I can't really see past the three wins for the teams at the top. And I think for Oxford, they're going to want to make a point, obviously, with how close it's going to be. So I'm going to say a 3-1 victory to Oxford.
Feeney?
Well, I think this is going to be one of them where Oxford will be nervy. It'll be, I think they've got the quality, though. I'm going to say a 1-0, and then they're just going to park Jose Mourinho's bus in front of the goal and get the win. 1-0 for Oxford for me.
I'm going to go for Oxford as well. I'm going to go 2-0. 2-0. The big one, we rounded up to 200 million, let's say £200 million game. Middlesbrough at the Riverside against Brighton, playing for a place in the Premier League next season. Tom Feeney, what are you thinking?
It's going to be a tough one, this. I think all the pressure is on Brighton, in my opinion, because for Middlesbrough right now, a 0-0 draw and they go up, and that's the reality. I think it's one of them as well. Brighton have got one or two injuries at the back, and I think Middlesbrough will just be able to sneak a Jordan Rhodes goal in and then just be able to defend it. I think Brighton, though, will get something out of this. Not enough, though. I'm saying 1-1.
Heartbreak.
It's a difficult one, isn't it? Like I said before, it's difficult as well just to say who the pressure's on, but the more I think about it, the more I think the pressure's necessarily on Middlesbrough more than Brighton, purely because the expectation is on Middlesbrough to win at home, to get a draw, and I think they might relax a bit too much. I spoke about their defensive record, but it kind of goes out the window in a game like this in terms of it is literally a winner takes all. I'm going to say that I'm going to back Brighton. I've backed them to get promotion all season. I'm going to back them here. I'm going to say they'll take this one 2-1.
Oh, 2-1. I'm also with Brighton, as I said last week on the podcast. So I'm going to go for... I'm going to go 3-2 Brighton.
High-scoring game.
A thriller to end the championship season. So Brighton up alongside the champions, Burnley. Lads, thanks very much. thanks very much for another fine week of predictions. Tom, thank you as always for your knowledge and cheeriness.
Sorry I haven't been able to keep up my usual high levels of happiness, but I will try again next week.
Back on it next week for the playoffs, and we shall see you then on the 72. In the meantime, make sure you check the guys out on Twitter at FBL72 and, of course, the website as well, the72.co.uk.
You're listening to the 72 podcast in association with Radio Yorkshire.